God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's certainly true for me, like any bishop of the Episcopal Church will most likely tell you, that the favorite thing we do is visit parishes and see what's going on and see God's faithful people and celebrate wonderful moments like with this beautiful child of Ephesus here and those coming to the laying on of hands. And so I give thanks for all of you and thank you for your faithfulness in and through this parish of Grace Church. And also want to say that I continue, as I trust you are, to be delighted for these almost or about 15 months of Catherine's presence here among us as your rector. Wonderful to be in this part of the vineyard with you, and so great to serve you as a colleague and friend in this time. So thank you for your leadership. You might ask, how so? touches the burial platform of a dead body. He defiles himself. That was against every rule of his day. He defiles himself all for the sake of what? Compassion and mercy. And his deep desire to bring life and hope wherever we find death. In this case, it was the grieving widow and mother. And this passage is not merely about that one person. It is about bringing God's hope to the powerless and marginalized of our world and life in the place of a constant barrage of violent and hateful rhetoric infecting us on a daily basis. The people's experience is that when Jesus entered the scene, they recognized that truth had shown up. Thus they called him a prophet, and that God had indeed visited them. This is what the world is to see when you and I show up in the name of Christ. When we bear God's good news in Christ, not only in our words, but in our example. Genuine revelation, if it really is of God, if we are willing to embrace it, always leads to mission outside the wall. I am told by your record, careful with the television. I am told by your record that this parish has a heart for outreach. That is a good thing. And I hope that you continue to pay attention to that part of who you are. It is of the essence that you be authentic to the passions for ministry that are in your DNA as a community of faith. It is also good because of the three components that tend to mark a parish that is alive and vital in the gospel. And they are these: that you clearly know why you exist, that you introduce people to things that truly matter to our life on this earth, and that you do so with heart. That is passion. It is no secret that the present-day church is struggling for a new identity. Many of you have heard me say many times that the Christianity with which many of us grew up is over. It will not return. But that is actually a good thing. Because we are promised to Jesus that God is always doing something new. That's what today is about. Doing something new in Alexis. Doing something new in these folks receiving the laying on of hands. And to use an image that I borrowed from a hockey player, Wayne Gretzky, 15 years ago, beginning of my time as your bishop, he said, one must never skate to where the puck is. You must always skate to where the puck is going. And that's hard to figure out sometimes. If we are going to have a voice in the joy as well as the struggle of what it means to be human, and what it means to be the church in our time, we must remain hungry for a Jesus that can be taken seriously. The God Jesus preached liberates those who are in death's prison. It sets them and us free. This Jesus summons us to something powerful and life-changing and world-affirming. And in so doing, we must reject a Jesus who remains too small, too quiet, and disconnected to anything that truly matters. I had a parishioner in my parish in Southern Virginia who in the early 70s was outspoken about the overt racism evident in that area. In that day and in that place, this was a great spray-painted epithets. Two marbles to repeat here appeared on her garage door. When I was her rector in the mid-80s, I heard these stories from others, and one day, when visiting Pat, I asked her about those days and why she was motivated to speak out in such a public manner. Her response was very clear and very simple. Because I promised to follow Jesus. In the end, I am less concerned with defining this Jesus than I am with experiencing this Jesus and inviting others into that experience as well as we do here today. I am more taken by his vulnerability than by claims of miraculous power. Yet I trust the one who was resurrected from the dead as one who does indeed change lives and brings hope to the captive, the disenfranchised, the despised, the left out, the refugee, the prisoner, the homeless, the jobless, the sick, the disillusioned, the depressed. All of whom are present right here, right outside that door. So who is this Jesus we proclaim today? Who is this Jesus we are promising to follow, to whom we are once again giving our life as he has given his life to us? He affirms our doubt, encourages our yearning, honors our questions, and trusts us with our honest doubt. And perhaps most important of all is he forbids our indifference. You and I cannot get away from him. You cannot get away from him. Nor, at last, should we.